G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
So we're going to kick off our first session, and I'm going to invite John Molina to share with us. John and Shirley, if you guys would just stand up, just so everybody can see you, just give them a round of applause. So Joy and I met John and Shirley a few years ago at the ministers' conference in Fort Worth, and at Fort Worth, there's something like 2,000 ministers from all around the world that come together. And in the meal times, they just, you know, they'll put you at a table and you get to meet people from different parts of the USA or different parts of the world. And this one particular meal time, Joy and I were seated with two other couples. It was John and Shirley, and there was another couple. The other couple just didn't, they seemed quite disinterested in the conversation. We didn't know. Maybe they were engaged in something else. We don't know. But we just started talking with this couple, and we just connected straight away. And especially John and I, there was a strong connection, and it was because we started talking about food. And we were just like, you know, like he was saying, like, oh, he said, Shirley and I, we have to go to California for a conference. And he said, it's so hard to find a good place to eat. They're just so health conscious there. And I said, brother. And so we just started chatting and just comparing notes about different sorts of foods. And so, boy, I tell you what, they are way ahead of me when it comes to revelation in this area. He took me into this store, and he showed me this thing. It's a jalapeno pepper. Well, you got my attention straight away. Jalapenos I really enjoy. That's not all. It's jalapeno peppers stuffed with cream cheese. I'm thinking like, whoa. And wrapped in bacon. Yeah. I'm thinking, what? So we really connected. And then we had opportunity to go last year. And they're part of Lakewood Church, which is Joel Osteen's church. And Joy and I were just blessed. They got us right up the front. I mean, we were sitting right behind the pastors, you know. And so it was a lot of fun. But, you know, the biggest thing that Joy and I noticed was their heart. Their heart, their willingness to serve. They're not all about titles and about being a big shot. They are, because I got to spend time with them in their home and spend days, and it's the heart of the shepherd. It's chasing the one. It's that person who calls at 10 o'clock at night when you're tired, and I'm seeing John minister to this person as if he's the only person. And I'm seeing Shirley do the same sort of thing. And I just knew straight away, I knew, man, I would love to have them come and share their heart with us. And I got so excited when last year they said, hey, we really believe God wants us to come and visit you. And I said, come. I said, we're going to have a conference. And so that's how kind of all got birthed. And, you know, you won't really... they came at tremendous personal cost and tremendous expense, but they came because they'd made a commitment to come. Even when the price began to blow right out and there were a whole bunch of complications, right up to the last minute, you know, and I don't want to take away from the story, I'll let them share if they want to share, but like right up to the last minute, right at the airport with less than an hour to go, it still wasn't clear if they both could make it or not. And but they were determined. They were determined because they believed that God wanted them here, and it was really exciting. I was crying with joy. When I got John was texting me, and he's saying, "My bags are packed. I'm heading to the airport." And he didn't have approval. He didn't have his visa. And I texted him. I said, "I'm standing with you, but don't you get on that plane without that visa approval." you really gonna. I want you to relax, open your heart. But you're going to receive something from God. I know these people, hey, and I know their heart. and it's a tremendous honour and privilege. I'm going to invite John to come up. Let's stand up and honour the Word of God and the man of God.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You all may be seated. Go ahead and be seated. Amen. Well, see, I've been preparing this. Good morning, mates. Did I do okay? All right, good, good. Praise the Lord. Amen. I've been preparing that all night, by the way. I always like to start off with something funny, so praise the Lord. That went over pretty good, actually. Well, thank you all so much for giving us the opportunity to come here to Australia. Ever since we met Pastor and his wife, we did click, and I have to admit, it was because of food initially. It was because of food. Pastor and I, we looked for each other when we went to the breakout sessions to go and have lunch, and we would look through the crowd. You know, do you see him? Do you see him? And Shirley was like, "I'm here." I said, "I see you're here, but where's Pastor at? You know, where's Pastor Lesson?" And we would seek them out, and we'd love to have lunch with them because not only do we get a chance just to bond and to communicate with one another, but we also got a chance to just fellowship in the Spirit. Amen. And the food was just an added incentive. So we were very grateful for that. So when we were invited to come by, we jumped at the opportunity. And I'm so grateful to God that we were able to be here. We did have visa issues. Well, let's put it this way. I had visa issues. I know everybody in here, y'all have all been saved all your lives. Amen. And I wasn't. And one of the questions on the visa application was, have you ever been convicted of a crime? And I'm guilty that I've been convicted of lots of crimes because I wasn't always saved. Amen. I know some of y'all are looking like, oh my God, did they give him the microphone? Yes. Yes, they gave it to me. I'm not the person I used to be. Amen. And the Australian government, I learned a lot. The Australian government frowns upon people that have convictions coming into the country without a special vetting process. So I was vetted to the utmost degree, amen. But at the last minute, my wife and I said, I'm still believing that we're going together. She got approval like that. Me, I went through a long process, cost lots of money. I did jump through the hoops. I did everything they wanted me to do, and I still didn't have my visa. And so we're on the way driving to the airport, and I was looking at my phone, and I was looking at the email because I was expecting to see the visa approval. So I'm driving in the car, and I'm driving, and I would just hit, you know, refresh, and I'd look, and it would still say initial assessment. And then I talked to the pastor, and he said, well, have you heard any news? And I said, well, I believe I received. We're on the way to the airport. I got my bags packed. We're going to get on the plane. And I said, be in agreement. He says, amen, we're in agreement. And then he sent another text back, and it said that if you don't have a visa, don't get on the plane. That's not faith. And I started laughing because I had saw the message after I had gotten approval because I went to the airport and I dropped my wife off and I'm driving home and I literally wanted to cry. And I'm a man, but I was dropping my wife off at the airport to fly halfway around the world by herself. And I'm on the way home with my packed bag. And I'm driving on the way home and she had told me, she said, why don't you just go in and talk to somebody? And I was like, it's not them, it's the Australian government. The airport people, they have nothing to do with this. And so I'm driving away home, and I kept hearing my wife, you need to talk to somebody. And if you're married and a man, and you know that voice of your wife, it won't go away. So I kept hearing, you need to talk to somebody, you need to talk to somebody. So I was almost to the freeway, and I turned around, and I went back, and I parked, and I told my wife I was coming. She said, just go over there and talk to anybody. And I went and talked to a lady that was there, and she said, well, what's the problem? And I started explaining that I hadn't got my visa approval, and she said, why don't you come with me? I had hope all of a sudden. Now, there's something we can do? Yes. So I went with her. We went over to an area where they weren't booking people in, and she started getting on the computer, and she had the phone, and she said, well, what's the problem? And I told her that, you know, I didn't have approval. Well, she said, well, give me 1 second. And she was on the phone. And I said, well, who are you talking to? She says, I'm talking to the Australian government. I said, can you do that? can you? And all of a sudden, in the inside, you know, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so she's talking, and all of a sudden, she said, what's the problem? And I showed her the email. They got my reference number. And she said, they say that they're telling me that they can see your application, but they don't understand why it's not approved. And I said, me too. I don't know. I did everything they asked me to do. I don't know why it's not approved. And she kept doing it, and she kept doing it. She said, this might be a quickie deal. Where's your bag at? I said, well, it's in the car. She said, maybe you need to go get it because this might be one of those deals where you're running in the airport. You know, don't close the door. And so she said, I went and got my bags, and I came back, and she while she was doing it, all of a sudden I heard ding on my phone. And I looked at my phone, and I saw that it was the Australian government. And I opened it up, and I looked through it, and it said approved. And then I took off running. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And she was like, and she was looking like, what happened? And I said, I just got my approval. And then she started, thank you, Jesus. So she was a believer too. So we're both shaking and baking in the airport, you know. And then she started to put the information in, and she said, I don't know why it's not taking it. And I said, no, they gotta take it. And they looked at my approval, and it said, I am approved to go May the 2nd, starting May the 2nd. The problem was, you guys are a whole nother day ahead of us. So when the government approved it, it was the first in America, but it was the second here. And they said, we can't let you on the plane like that. I said, no, we were so close. And I said, well, is there anything we can do? She pulled the phone back up. I said, who are you calling? The Australian government. Needless to say, they changed the date on my visa, and we took lots of pictures with her. And then I took off running. Shirley was already, you know, getting ready to get on the airport. She wasn't going to wait on me. But that's something else. She kept telling me, I'm going. And so I ran, and we jumped on the plane, and that's when I sent Pastor a picture just to let him know that everything was good. But the thing with that is, the whole time there were steps of faith that we had to take. It didn't just happen by itself. There was things that we needed to do, and we did everything that God told us to do in the Word of God. And I can be honest with you right now. There's a scripture in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. It says, for by grace we are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So I started telling my wife, sweetheart, we had nothing to do. I mean, we did what we needed to do, but this was all God. It was a gift of God. God made this possible. Even though we were in the Word, we were confessing scriptures, we believed, we received, we did everything we needed to do, we can't take any credit for the visa being approved. It was only by the grace of God, God's unmerited favor. God made it possible so that we can be here. And because of all the opposition, there's another scripture that says that an effective door has been opened to me, and there are many adversaries. Every time we thought we were getting somewhere, there was another adversary. But I'm just so grateful to God that God overcomes every adversary that comes against us. Amen? No matter how big, how bad, how much they bark, it doesn't matter. We always have the victory. And so I'm just very grateful. That was my intro to the conference. So praise the Lord. I'm so glad that God moved in such a great and mighty way, and we're able to be here today. And I got a chance to feed a kangaroo. Praise the Lord. Amen. Day one, I'm already with the kangaroos. But praise the Lord. Amen. All right. Pastor said something really interesting when they were doing praise and worship. He said that when we came here, we needed to come with expectant hearts. We needed to come in expecting and believing to receive. And that's such an important thing when you do anything with God, because God is not motivated by our crying or by our tears. God is only motivated by our faith. And so when we come in, we have to come in believing and expecting to receive from God, not from man, but from God. And I always encourage people when I tell them this. And if you, y'all know what amen means? Amen means, well, no, I'm not, I'm not trying to get an amen out of you. But amen means so be it, or be it unto me. And if I say you're blessed, that means amen, so be it unto me. Okay, well, what I'm about to share with you right now, if you can't say amen, just say ouch. Okay, now watch this. If we come in and we're expecting and believing to receive from God, God will always make sure that there's something tangible here that can be poured into us. If we come with an expectant heart, it doesn't matter who gets up here and who speaks, God will always make sure to honor your faith. Because your faith is motivating God. And you'll purge whatever you need out of God, and it'll come into you, into your spirit. But if you came and you weren't expecting anything, guess what you're going to get? Absolutely nothing. It's all about what you came expecting and believing to receive. And I always tell everybody, right now is the time to turn your believer on. If you said, ouch, that hurt, turn your believer on and say, I'm about to get something this weekend. This weekend is going to be a life-changing experience. I'm going to open up my heart, open up my spirit. God's going to pour out of his spirit upon all flesh today. My life is never going to be the same. I'm going to get revelation knowledge. I'm going to get wisdom from heaven. I'm going to get breakthrough today. Walls are going to come tumbling down. Shackles are going to be broken. I'm going to do everything that God has called me to do. And when you walk in here, you know what God is going to do? He's going to honor your faith. You got to have faith to get that. Amen. If you're sitting here, oh yeah, well, I hope so. I'm telling you right now, it doesn't work like that. You got to expect and believe that God is moving on your behalf. And this is the misconception that we get, that God is like this with closed hands. And we're trying to get God to do something. Ouch. Remember, ouch. We think that we're trying to get God to open up those hands and to release something into us. And that's not it at all. This is God. He has open hands all the time. And what we do is we draw on what he has and what he possesses. And it's not his fault that we're not getting what we need. Come on now, amen. You can't say amen, just say ouch, amen. It's not God's fault that we're not getting what we need. It's us needing to take the steps of faith to put ourselves in. I get lots of visuals, and you're going to see me running around a little bit. Please don't mind me, nobody, okay? I'm not crazy. Okay. But I get a visual of God, and he's pouring out this waterfall of blessing. And he's not pouring it out everywhere. He's pouring it out in a space called faith. And he's pouring it right there. And if I'm over here, and he's pouring out the blessing over there in faith, I'm not going to get wet or anointed with that blessing. So what do I need to do? I need to take the steps of faith so I can get underneath that waterfall, so I can get saturated with all of God. Amen? It's my responsibility to get where God wants me to be and where God needs me to be. Because God has some things that he's going to be doing in your life coming up very, very soon. God is going to take you some places. And the pastor even said, everybody in here has a calling on your life. Yeah, I think I lost like 3 or 4 amens on that one. Everybody in here has a position in the body of Christ. There's people in your circle of influence that I will never be able to talk to or to minister to. But you know what? You could. You can have an influence on those people that you know you're in circle with. And God needs you. Don't ever think that God doesn't need you. God needs every person in this sanctuary today, and he needs them well equipped so that when they go out, they can do everything that he needs them to do. They need an attentive ear to be able to hear that still soft voice. God, how many of y'all know that God doesn't yell at anybody? All right, Shirley. That's God. God, look here, Shirley, I need you. God's not going to yell at Shirley. He's going to talk to her very nicely and very sweetly. Shirley, you need to get John together. And she said, why me, Lord? Why me? Please, anybody else, call someone else. But God is going to use us to do that, to fulfill the plan and purpose that he has. And that's the greatest motivator that we need to have, is it's not about me. Because me can interrupt the plans of God. Amen? Self, when you start elevating self above God and you start thinking about what about me, That's when the anointing gets shut off. Let me just turn that valve off right now. Because God is not into elevating you for your own glory. He's into elevating you for his glory. Now, if I told you this, watch this. When I told you that I had lots of convictions, if I told you that I got saved while I was incarcerated in jail in Houston, Texas, and at the time I was a drug addict, I was an alcoholic, I was a drug dealer, I've been shot 3 times, I've been in drug rehab twice, and God found me in my prison cell. Well, why is this? Y'all like, okay, come on with the story. Hey, where am I at right now? I'm in Australia preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. 19 years ago, if he'd have told me, John, I got this plan and this purpose for you. You're going to go to Australia. You're going to preach at a faith conference. Get behind me, Satan. You know, I don't want to hear that. I know that's a lie straight from the pit of hell. But God has plans for each and every one of you. And he needs you so that he can fulfill that plan and that purpose. Amen? Now, I try to be real, just, I call it KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. I talk to myself, I keep it simple. This is the way that God taught me to study the Bible. He said, when you study the Bible, I want you to understand it to such a degree that you can explain it to somebody that has never picked up a Bible, that doesn't know God, and to be able to explain it on its simplest forms. Amen? You have to be able to explain. And so that's how I study the Bible now. And so this might seem a little bit simplistic, but the Bible says that the reason that we miss it is because of the simplicity in Christ. Some of us make it so difficult. Naaman, you know, he had leprosy. And they told him, you know, go to find it. Was it Elisha or Elijah? Let me move my brother back. Elisha. He told him, see, I got my man back there. They taught me about my man already. They told him to go to Elisha. And Elisha's gonna, you know, he's gonna do what he needs to do and you'll get healed. And as he went over there, Elisha sent out his servant. And the servant went out there and he said, well, yeah, I got a message for you. Elisha told you to go over there into that lake right there and go jump up 7 times. And he looked at that lake and he said, is that what you want me to do? I came all this way. There's better rivers and better lakes than where I came from. And you want me to go and do that? And he started walking away. And then his servant said, you know, he said, if he'd have asked you to do something difficult, wouldn't you have done it? And sometimes we miss it because it's so simple. God is not a difficult God to understand. You know what makes it difficult? It's not hard. If we just get out of the way and just, the scripture says in Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And that's what we're called to do, is to exhaust ourselves of ourselves because of what God wants to do in our life. Amen? Now, Romans 1:17. I'm going to keep this short. Watch. There's a scripture in the Bible. This is what it says. Blessed are the short-winded, for they shall be invited back. Some of y'all are looking for the scripture right now. Where is that? Pastor needs to know that scripture. No, it's not a scripture in the Bible. I'm not going to take long. I'm not going to take long. I just want to share a few things with you. Romans 1:17 says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, the word just is the root word for the word justify. The word justified means to be declared righteous. The word righteous means to be made right with God, to be in right standing with God, or to be able to, this is my definition, to be able to stand in the presence of God without fear. Well, I've done no wrong. I can stand with my head held up high in the presence of God. And how do you become righteous? Well, in the book of Romans chapter 10, it says that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness. So you become righteous by believing. So the scripture says the just or believers shall live by faith. The problem is, you know what a lot of people do? They do their own thing all day long. And then when they run into problems or something comes up, now they try to muster up as much faith as they can to try to overcome that struggle that's coming against them. But God said, that's not the way I've called you to live. I don't want you to have what's called parachute faith. Now watch this. You're flying in an airplane And all of a sudden, somebody comes on the thing. We're going down. There's parachutes in the back. Everyone get a parachute. And you're sitting there. The plane's going down. So you run and you grab a parachute and pick it up and put it on. Now, why do you do that? Because a parachute is for emergency situations only. And a lot of people, what they try to do is they try to use faith for emergency situations only. Just when things are going bad or things aren't going right. I need to get in faith, brother. I need to make this happen, brother. I need to go read my word now. And that's not how God works. He says the just shall live by faith. Faith is not something that you do. It's a lifestyle that you live. It's, watch this, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. God has called us to live by faith, the lifestyle of faith in every situation, in every circumstance. My wife and I know my wife, she gets irritated by me because no matter where we're at, if I hear God say, I'm at the checkout stand in the convenience store and I'm purchasing something and God says, tell that person about me. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell that person about Jesus. Now, all of a sudden, my wife's like, we need to go. What are you doing? You know, and I'm sitting there and I'm just trying to explain to them about Jesus Christ and just share the love of God, even if it's something very, very simple. That's why God wants us to be in faith at all times. Amen? Because you never know when God's going to give you a word in due season for someone else. Somebody needs to hear a word from God, and God wants to use you as the catalyst to help to get that word relayed to the person. Amen? Now, there's a lot of people, you know, that are in church. Y'all know that? There's lots of people that are in church. The problem is the church isn't in them. Amen? You can go to any church on Sunday and you can find lots of pews lined up with people. They're in the church. But when they walk out, they leave church where it's at. And they walk out and they live their life the way that they want to live it. And I have this friend of mine that I work with. I'm an electrician, by the way. Y'all know what NASA what NASA means? That's where I work at. NASA is where the United States launches their rockets into outer space, space shuttle, you know, and Apollo rockets. And that's where I work at. The reason I say that, not to brag. I'm not bragging, I work at NASA. I'm bragging on God because remember where I told you where I came from? He found me in a jail cell, drug addict, drug dealer, alcoholic, and now I work at NASA. Amen? I'm an electrician at NASA, by the way. I'm not bragging, I'm bragging on him because I could not have done that on my own because you have to pass a Homeland Security background check, FBI check to work there too. No. Jesus, you know, okay. But I'm an electrician there, and I have a friend of mine that I work with, and I probably spend more time with him than I spend with my wife because I'm with him for 8 hours a day minimum every day, a lot of times 12 hours a day. And me and him, on site, if you work, if you're an electrician, you have to work with a buddy system because electricity is kind of dangerous, and so they don't let us work by ourselves. We have to work together. And the thing is, if you're going to work near me, you're going to hear about Jesus. There's nothing you can do. Every person that I've worked with, I mean, praise the Lord, this is another opportunity. You're going to hear about Jesus. Well, for the past 10 years, I've been working with this one gentleman. And I've been ministering to him about Jesus. He was another religion that it was more about the tradition of God. And I led him to the Lord just so that we could make sure. Amen. And we led him to the Lord. And now I encourage him on a daily basis to do certain things. Well, he's run into some problems and run into some issues and some things aren't going his way. And he's asking me, he's saying, John, what is the problem? Why am I not seeing the signs? Why am I not seeing the miracles? Why am I not seeing the wonders, the breakthroughs? Why am I not seeing these things? And I ask him a simple question. Did you read last night? He said, you always ask me that. I said, I know I do. I said, did you pray last night? He said, well, I didn't get a chance to. I said, did you go to church last Sunday? He said, I did go to church. I said, well, answer this question. What was the sermon about? And he says, so what you're telling me is that I have to read every day. I have to pray every day. And I have to go to church every Sunday to get God to do something for me. I said, absolutely not. You're not doing that to get God to do something for you. You're doing that to build up your faith. So when the time comes, when you need to believe God for the miracle, it can come to pass. See, what we do is we put the word in when we don't need it so that it'll be there when we do. Amen? That's why we got to constantly be in faith. We got to constantly be pouring into ourselves the word of God. We have to separate ourselves from the things of the world other than football. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I'm sorry. Real, all footballs, because we all got three different footballs right here. But we need to distance ourselves from the things of the world, the movies and the radio, you know, the songs and that kind of thing. There was a time, you know, I've been saved for about 19, 20 years now. And every once in a while, my flesh wants to listen to a mainstream radio station. You know, just and I'll put it on, and there's a group that I used to listen to rock music, and this song comes on, and it's by this group called AC/DC. I don't know if y'all are aware of it. And then all of a sudden the song comes on, and I'm driving, and this is what the song says: I'm on the highway to hell. I have to change the radio station because that's one of their more popular songs. Is I'm on the highway to hell. And I caught myself. I'm not going to hell, Lord. I'm not going to hell. Boop, turning the radio station. But I have to distance myself from those things. We all do. We can't get contaminated with the things of the world because those contaminants are going to contaminate our faith. When it comes down to it and we need to believe God for a miracle, it's not going to come to pass. Some people in here might be believing God for a job. You might be believing God for a promotion. You might be believing God for your marriage to stay secure. You might have a child that's kind of wayward right now, and you want them to get back on track. Right now is not the time to be messing around. Amen? We need to be on point, walking with God, walking in unison with Him. God doesn't want us to be in front of Him. He doesn't want us to be behind Him. He wants us to be in step with Him. Amen? Hearing the voice of God. And that's where I got off a little bit when I was kind of young, because God would always say, go right. And for some funny reason, I wanted to go left. And you know, God's not a bully. If I want to go left, you know what He's going to do? He's going to let me. And then I find myself in a bunch of mess and oh Lord, why did you let this happen? You know, and God has to come and get me out. And you know what? He will. Thank you. He will. How many of you know that God is the God of the second chance? God is the God of the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance. He's the God of as many chances as you need. But see, with all those choices do come consequences. Amen? Amen? I learned that one. They will put you in jail, by the way. I'm just. But my friend Leonard, he was trying to get God to move on his behalf, and God wasn't doing it, and he wanted to blame God. He was trying to say that it was all God's fault. And then when I kind of gave him revelation that the reason I ask you to read every day, and I'm consistent with that. Every day I can listen to his mouth. Every morning we come in, I can hear him talking. And I said, I don't think he did any reading. And so when we get alone, the first thing I say is, what did you read? He's like, golly, I'm not going to stop asking you. I'm going to ask you every day, what did you read? And he said, well, I didn't read anything. I said, you know why I could tell that? He said, why? I said, I can listen to your mouth. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. So if you want to know what's inside of a person, all you got to listen to is what's coming out of a person. When you hear a lot of doubt and unbelief and worry and confusion coming out of someone's mouth, you already know what's inside them. Doubt and confusion and worry. And so I said, you've been filling yourself with all this other stuff and you have not been filling yourself with the word. It's not a coincidence that things are falling apart and things aren't going the way that you want them to go. Amen? We all have to come to a point of encounter or confrontation with Jesus, though. I say this, that there's this like mountain where we're walking with God and it's like we're going uphill. It's hard, it's rough, but there gets a point where we get to the pinnacle where we get over and we start going downhill, and downhill is so much more easier than going uphill. And I was always trying to figure out, why is walking with God so easy for me now? Where before, it was so difficult. I wanted to walk with God. I was trying to walk with God, but everything was so difficult, and it felt like I was going uphill. It was the day that I totally surrendered my life to Jesus. It's really easy to get saved. It's real easy to get saved. Getting saved is easy. All you do is confess Him as your Lord and Savior and turn, you know, believe in your heart that He was raised from the dead. But discipleship, you know, we confess Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We all like the Savior part. I've committed sin and I've done wrong and, oh Lord, please rescue me from the penalty of all my sin. And God says, okay, that's the Savior part. But when we get the Savior, we also get the Lord. Now the word Lord means master. And the word master means the one that tells you what to do. See, everybody wants to be saved, but nobody wants to be told what to do until you surrender. When you totally surrender to God, that's when you get over that hill or get over that hump and everything becomes easy. When you don't have to worry about nothing. My life is not in my hands. You know what? I knew that if I didn't come to Australia, it was going to be all right. I'd be upset and disappointed, but I mean, I was going to be good. You know, I was going to, nothing drastic was going to happen. Except my heart would be hurt a little bit. But other than that, I mean, I knew I was going to be okay. I knew God still had me in the palm of His hand. But we need to position ourselves and put ourselves when we come to that point of encounter with God. And I got that from Acts chapter 9, where the Apostle Paul, he was so dead set in what he believed in that he was still a Jew at that time, a devout into Judaism. The religion of Judaism. And he came to the elders at the church in Jerusalem and he said, I want you to give me letters of approval so that I can go to Damascus. And if I find anybody there that is of the way, you know, Christian, anybody there, I want these letters that will give me permission to have them arrested and thrown into prison. And those letters were granted to him. So he gets these letters and now he's on the way to Damascus and he's riding his horse. He's riding his horse. Then all of a sudden, a great light shone out of the sky. So it was so blinding that he fell off of his horse and he's laying on the ground and he hears a voice come out of that light. And the voice says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. And this is what Saul said, Lord, who are you that I am persecuting you? He says, I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting. And then Saul says something very important. He says, Lord, what do you want me to do? That was one amen. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? At that very moment, he surrendered his life to Jesus. And he said, my life does not belong to me any longer. It now belongs to you. What do you want me to do? And that's where we all need to come to that point of faith, where it's not about what we want anymore. It's about what God wants. See, we want God to do the miraculous, but the only way that He can do the miraculous is when you're in Him, not in you. In you, you will struggle. In God, you might struggle, but God will always give you the victory through Him. Because I'll be honest with you today, I still have challenges, still have temptations. Me and the wife, you know, we still want to, you know, no, just, but really, yeah. We have this thing, you know, we do this. I say, that means I want to choke her, you know. Yeah, y'all know what a tiff is, right? A tiff? Y'all know what a tiff is? A tiff is when you want to choke your spouse, but you just don't. And so y'all think you knew, right? You thought you knew, right? Me and my wife, we have lots of tiffs where we want to choke each other. We just don't, you know. We want to, but we don't do it. So we have our challenges in our marriages. Amen? Sometimes, you know, I want to say I follow the word to the T, but sometimes we go to bed and we're not seeing things eye to eye. The Bible says, do not let the sun go down on your wrath. Y'all are like, how dare you? No, sometimes, can I be transparent and be honest? Sometimes we go to bed, but the very next morning when I wake up, I'm so sorry. She says, you need to be. Come on, baby. I knew that was coming. But you know what? When I said I was sorry, I knew that I was walking in faith in what God said because God wanted me to. The Bible says when it all depends upon you, live at peace with all men and all women. So when I went and I made peace with her, I knew I was in the will of God. I was walking by faith, knowing that she was going to hammer me. I knew she was going, I'm going to get you while you're down. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. You're speaking later? Yeah. That's the other thing I keep forgetting, you know. She's gonna get me back, but praise the Lord. Well, because I got a good football story. Okay. I'm walking with God is all about choice. Like what I said, that God's not gonna make us do anything. The Bible says, behold, I sit before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both you and your descendants may live. God's not going to make us do anything. I wanted God to keep me out of the dope house. And you know that God could not do it? If I wanted to go into the drug house, there was nothing he can do to stop me because I chose to do it. He couldn't stop me. Well, watch this. If I want to serve God, there's nothing that the devil can do to stop me either, though. Amen? But it's all about choice. God's not going to like hold you. No, don't go in there. You don't want to go in there. He's going to encourage you not to do it. But he's not going to forces no man to do anything. It's all by free will and free choice. So therefore, knowing that it's all about choice, we have to understand something. And I got a good football story that everybody will approve of. Okay. In American football, I'm going to talk a little bit about American football. You have what's called an offense and a defense. And the offense has the ball, and they're trying to go down to the goal line, cross it, and when they cross it, they score what's called a touchdown. Okay? I'm being real simplistic. That's from my wife, though. She doesn't know about football. Okay. So they get the ball, and they have what's called a quarterback. The quarterback has the football. Now, the quarterback is pretty much the guy that's running the offense. He decides what's going to happen with the ball. Is he going to throw the ball to a receiver, which is another person, and let him run? Is he going to take the ball and hand it to a running back that's in the backfield and let him run with the ball? Or he determines what's going to happen with the ball. He's in charge. And so what we think is, watch this, we think that God is in charge of everything that we do. That God's running the show. I even heard people say this, and I don't mean to like step on any toes or anything, but I've heard people say that God is in control. It gets real quiet when I say that. Oh, Jesus. Now, let me explain, though. We think that God is in control. Watch this. If God was in control, why did he let me go into the dope house? If he was so much in control, he couldn't stop me from going because I had free choice, free will to do whatever I wanted. So we think that God is the quarterback and God's going to run the show. He's not. You know who God is? He's the person in the backfield, the running back. He is the most decorated player that has ever played on a football field. Every time he touches the ball, he scores a touchdown. Every time, without fail. Everybody knows it. If you give him the ball, he's going to score. But we are the quarterback. We're the ones in charge because we're the ones making the choice. So we get the ball and we say, all we have to do, the simple choice is to get the ball and give it to God and let him score, right? Simple, not hard, not difficult. Get the ball, put it in his hands and let him take it from there. But what do? We act like we're going to give him the ball. We pull it back out and then we try to run it ourselves and then we get clobbered for a 10-yard loss. Some of y'all are like, I don't understand American football. No, okay. But the point is that if we just give the ball to God, if we put in, okay, watch this. If in your life and in your situation, if you put the issue, the hurt, the habit, the hang-up, the struggle, what's coming against you, if you put that in the hands of God and let him run with it, this is what the Bible says, cast all your care upon him. Because he cares for you. And that's what God wants us to do, is to give him the ball, give him the problem, give him the situation, give him the circumstance, and then walk out the steps of faith and watch God run a touchdown for you. Amen? I taught that story at a men's conference one time. They really got that. No offense, nothing. No. All right. I'm going to share one more thing, and then I'll shut it down. Amen? One thing that we're going to need to do is we're going to need to trust God. We're going to have to trust God with everything that's within us. We're going to have to put everything in his hands, even our very own lives. And I hear a lot of people say this, I trust God, I trust God. And then I tell them the story. There was this man, and he came up to Niagara Falls. And he's sitting in Niagara Falls, and he's looking, and there's this other gentleman that he has got a cable that he's put from one side of the Niagara Falls. Y'all know what Niagara Falls is, right? Okay, go. I'm like, oh, Jesus. I forgot where I'm at. Okay. It's a big waterfall, huge waterfall in upper state New York. The man has got a cable. He has attached it to one side of the falls, and some kind of way, he's got it all the way on the other side of the falls. And so the other guy, he's just looking at him and like, what is this guy up to? So he gets the cable across, and then he comes back over here, and the guy's like, I wonder what he's up to. So the guy gets a wheelbarrow, and he gets the wheelbarrow, and he gets on the cable, and he starts pushing the wheelbarrow on the cable across the whole Niagara Falls. And the other guy's over here, what are you doing? What are you doing? And he sees the guy push it, and he goes all the way across. And then he turns around, and he gets the wheelbarrow, and he walks back. And this guy over here, he's losing his mind. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, my gosh, what's going on? He comes back, and he does it all day long, going in the wheelbarrow all day long. By this time, this guy over here, he's got a crowd coming. You guys got to see this guy. Come check him out. He's pushing a wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls, and all of the people come. And they're coming there, and they're looking at him, and he's making such a big deal about it. When the guy comes across, he asks him a question. He says, do you believe that I can push the wheelbarrow across the falls? And the guy says, I know you can do it. He says, do you really believe I can do it? He says, without a shadow of a doubt, I know you can do it. He said, well, get in the wheelbarrow. And that's where we're at sometimes. We can talk a good game. We can say, I believe, I receive. But when the chips are down, are you willing to get in the wheelbarrow? Amen? One last scripture. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:13, it says, in him you trusted after you heard the word of truth. In him, people used to tell me this when I was unsaved. John, you need to trust God. And you know my thinking? Trust God? Who is God? I didn't even know who God was, and you're telling me you want me to trust him with my life? I don't know who God is. And you're telling me to trust him? That's like me saying, you know, I would never do that. I would never give my wallet to my wife because I know the evil that's in man. No, just kidding. I know what she's capable of doing with a little bit of money, a whole lot of money. Oh, my gosh. I wouldn't, you know, if you had to give your wallet to somebody you didn't know, you'd be very skeptical about doing that. Well, if you're going to give your life to somebody that you don't know, you'd almost, no, I'm not doing that. And so God taught me this. He says, in me you trusted after you heard the word of truth. The more that we hear the word, the more that we begin to trust in him. Last story, I promise. My wife and I, we both do prison ministry back in Houston. And we've been doing prison ministry for a long time. And because that's where I came from, I have a heart for the men and the women that are incarcerated. I understand their pain, what they're going through, and my heart goes out to them. And I remember when I was incarcerated that for years, I hadn't had anybody touch me. Like, because I was such a Tasmanian devil. Okay. I was so wild and crazy that people wouldn't come near me. So I had had very little contact with people, like, except my mom. My mom, I'd come to hug her and she'd make the sign of the cross. You know, she was Catholic at the time. She'd sprinkle some holy oil on me and she'd send me on my way. But other than that, I had no interaction with people. And I remember how empty I felt because I had no person in my life. And so when I go to the jail now, when the guys come into the classroom, I stand right at the door. And when they walk in, the first thing I do is I shake their hand and I get a hold of their hand and I pull them close and I, I give them a big hug and I just tell them in the ear, I love you, brother. Thank you for coming. And they're like, and okay, you know, and then they walk like this, you know, and so they go on in. Every person that comes into the classroom, every one of them, I hug, I love you, brother. Thank you for coming. And they go in and they all line up like, oh man, like you're on a ride, like a roller coaster. Oh man, you know, so I hug every one of them. This one particular time, there was this really big dude. I could see him over, you know, I could see the heads of everybody. But then there was this one guy, and he was in the line. And he had tattoos all over the place. And he looked, I mean, he was like just, he was massive. And so I'm looking at him, and in the back of my mind, I'm like, man, I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to hug him, Lord. So I get these guys, and when I get to him, I'm getting ready to go into my little, you know, and he just sticks out his hand like that. And he was so massive that I couldn't do nothing. Basically, what he was telling me is, keep your distance. And so I'm like, I love you, brother. Thank you for coming. And he walks in. Okay, so he goes and he sits down. And then I get up and I preach and I teach. And then we go away. Next week, we come back the same week. Everybody's in line, same thing. I love you, I love you. Thank you for coming, I love you. Here he comes. Well, he comes up. This time, he grabs my hand. And I'm like thinking he's going to pull me close, but he doesn't. He just controls me, and then he grabbed my hand this time. And he controls me, and he walked. I love you, brother. Thank you for coming. And so I go in there, and I preach, share Jesus, and next week comes. Same scenario. I love you, I love you, I love you. I see him coming. He grabs my hand, and we chest bump. We gave a little chest bump. We gave him a chest bump. Then he walks in. I love you, brother. Thank you for coming. And so I preach, share Jesus with him. The next week comes, and I see the same scenario. I love you, brother. Thank you for coming. I got to him. He goes, and he picks me up. I love you, brother John. I love you, brother John. I'm like, you know, like a rag doll in the sky, you know. Oh, Jesus, you know, put me down, man. Put me down. And he puts me down, and then God taught me something. The first day that he came in, he didn't know me from Adam. He didn't know who I was, but I came in and I kept sharing Jesus Christ. I kept sharing Jesus Christ. He saw my heart. He saw that I was genuine with it. He saw that I wasn't trying to get anything out of him, that I was trying to get something to him. But the more that he came, the more that his trust was developed until he got to the point where he totally surrendered and gave it all up. And he was willing to welcome me. And that's the same thing with the Word of God. You might not trust God to begin with, but the more time you spend in the Word, the more that you'll begin to trust God, the more that you'll begin to believe God, the more you'll be able to stand on the Word of God, and the more that you'll be able to see the miracles of God. Amen? Yeah. Praise the Lord. If I haven't told you all today, I want you all to know that I love you. Thank you for letting me share.